we'll start. Okay, so today we are continuing with our Shmeina Esrei. We did, at the end of last term, we did the bracha of Maidim. I know we might not have 100% completed it, and I realize that. But we are going to be moving on, and today we are going to be doing the bracha of Sim Shalom. In the Art Scroll Siddur, I see it's on page 116, Sim Shalom. I know we do miss out a few parts because between Maidim and Sim Shalom, there are a few additional pieces. Sometimes, if it's Purim, which today is Shushan, Purim Katan, but there is the Al Hanisim and Chanukah. We're not going to learn that. We might go back to that after, at one point. And there's also what's called the Birchas Kohanim, which the Chazan, when he repeats the Shemayin Esrei, he does say, the blessing of the Kohanim, and we're not going to be going into that. Sim Shalom, interestingly, is quite connected to the blessing of the Kohanim. Many of the words are actually quite similar, and we'll see that as we learn it. So let's see, let's start. And in the art scroll, the Nusach Ashkenaz, the Nusach Ari, it's almost exactly the same. So I'll read just one. There's one extra word in the Nusach Ari. Otherwise, it's the same. So I'll just read it once, and we'll see Sim Shalom, bestow peace, Toiva Uvracha, goodness and blessing, Chaim, that's in the Nusach Ari. I think the Nusach Ashkenaz doesn't have the word Chaim here, but life, Chein, grace, v'chesed, and kindness, v'rachamim, and mercy, Aleinu v'al kol Yisrael amecha, upon us and upon all your people Israel. Barcheinu avinu kulonu ke'echad, bless us, our Father, all of us as one, ba'ar panecha, in the light of your countenance. Ki ba'ar panecha nasata lanu Hashem alikeinu teiras chayim. For by the light of your countenance you gave us, Hashem, the Torah of life, the avas chesed, and the love and loving kindness. We'll look more deeply into these, all these things that we are mentioning here, but just this is just the literal translation: utzdaka, uvracha, righteousness. Tzedakah in this context is righteousness, ubracha and blessing, virachamim and compassion, v'chayim and life, v'shalom and peace, v'toiv be'einecha levarech es amcha Yisrael. And it is good in your, may it be favorable in your eyes to bless your people Israel, b'chol eis, at all times, u'b'chol sha'ah, and at all, every moment, every hour, b'shleimecha, with your peace. And then we conclude the bracha, baruch atah Hashem, ha'mevarech es amo Yisrael b'shalom. Blessed are you, Hashem, who blesses his people Israel with peace. This is actually considered the last bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. We do have another paragraph, and we will be learning it, but that's not considered one of the brachas of Shmoneh Esrei. This is considered, well, originally the 18th bracha. Obviously, later it became, we added one, so it became the 19th. But it is the conclusion of the actual, real framework of the Shmoneh Esrei. This is the last of the three of Thanksgiving, of the last set, you know, the unit, the last part. This is said every single day of the week, whether it be weekday or Shabbos, Shachris, Mincha, and Ma'ariv. I know Nusach Ashkenaz has a different start. We say Sim Shalom, all three. I forgot how they say Shalom Rav, or so there's a drop of a slightly different start, but it's the same thrust. We are asking Hashem to bless us with peace. So the conclusion of Shmoneh Esrei is this concept of Shalom, peace, a word which is very loosely used often, but we have to understand what is the depth of the word. What are we asking for? What are we mentioning? And how come this is what concludes the entire Shmoneh Esrei? We know this is not unique because, as we mentioned, this follows right after the Birchas Kohanim, the blessing of the priests. And we know the blessing of the priests also concludes with Vayasem Lecha Shalom, right, to give peace. That's also the last word of that. We know when we greet somebody, when we say goodbye to somebody, Shalom is a word which is constantly used in the Torah. It is such a, it's like the beginning, the middle, the end. Everything is about this concept of peace. But obviously we have to understand that in a much deeper way. What does this mean? So just even before we go into it in depth, we realize that if this is the conclusion of the Shmoneh Esrei, which is the You know, the height of our davening, where we're literally standing, as we say, in the Holy of Holies with Hashem, then this is obviously the receptacle, this is the vessel, this is the bag in which we are taking all of the previous blessings, all of the previous requests that we are confident that Hashem is fulfilling. How do we take them with us throughout our day? It comes, obviously, with shalom. With shalom means that shalom is the basket, it's the bag, it's the vessel which holds all of the previous requests. Without this, we don't have anything. That's what the Chachamim explained. It's similar to, we can imagine, if you go into if you want a drink of water, you take a cup. If the cup has many holes in it, you can be pouring water, the water will immediately leave the cup. If we come into Shemayne Esrei and we ask and we get and and Hashem gives us all the blessings, if we leave without this blessing, we leave with nothing. It will be gone in a minute. So we have to understand what it is. So as we've done many times, we're going to see it in different layers. We will go into the words. Actually, the words are quite exact and quite beautiful. I hope we're going to get there today. If we don't, Demir Tzashem, we will get there next week. But I just want to see a little bit more in a general way what we're asking for, what's the process, what are we doing when we stand here and we begin Shemayne Esrei. So I'll just start with one little introduction but one thing that the Tzaddikim say, that when we stand to say this bracha, what we should have in mind immediately is we should ask Hashem that He should fill us with humility and take away any anger that we have. Because peace, the opposite of peace, is arrogance and anger. If somebody has any feelings of anger, whether it be within themselves or towards another, there is no peace, that we know. If somebody is not humble, there's also no peace. So immediately our mindset should be, we're asking Hashem to fill us with a sense of humility and a sense, and we'll see soon, that this peace is not just world peace, and it's not even just peace within the people that we know, it's inner peace. So we're asking Hashem to take away all feelings of frustration and anger. That's one thing that we, as we begin the Shemayne Esrei, that fills. But a little bit more generally, so we go through, let's understand, first of all, why is this peace? This is like the biggest thing. So I'm just going to, bear with me, read you a few beautiful medrashim. It's important to have the foundation, which give us that foundational understanding that peace is considered in Yiddishkeit and in Torah, as we say, the vessel for everything. So I'll read you one medrash. This is a medrash from Bamidbar Rabbah, and it says like this, Ein ha'olam misnaheg ela b'shalom, that the world could not be maintained except by shalom, by peace. And v'ha'tayra kula shalom, and the entire Torah is peace. Shenemar, and we know we say this actually in davening, but it's pasuk from Mishlei. And when we take out the Torah, we say drachecha darchei noyam v'chol nesivaseha shalom. That the Torah, as we say, its ways are ways of pleasantness, and all its paths are peace. And if a person, and we know, if a person comes from the journey, what do? We say hello. In the morning, we greet them, shalom. In the night, we say shalom. We always, and even interesting, when you, the reading, what does the Medrash tell us over here? That the Shemayne Esrei, we know, concludes with peace, and the Birchas Kayanim conclude with peace. What does it mean that we're asking for peace? Is this an extra bracha? Like in addition to all the previous things, health, and that we should have parnasa, peace is an additional one? No. What we're saying is that without peace, we have nothing. Peace allows us and is the conduit through which we can receive all of the previous brachas, which means if there's no peace, we have nothing. Now, I just want to show you the Mishnah says, and this is a very famous line, the Mishnah says like this, it says in Mishnah Uktzin, it says, Rabbi Shimon bar Chlafta Oimer, Lo Amar Rabbi Shimon bar Ben Chlafta, Lo Motza HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keili Machzik Bracha LiYisrael, Ela HaShalim. This is one of the most famous lines, that Hashem found no vessel better to contain the blessing for Israel than peace. And how do we know? We know the famous pasuk. We say, Hashem oiz la'ama yitein, Hashem yivarech es amay bashalom. That Hashem will give strength unto His people, and Hashem will bless His people with peace. So we know that peace, it's everything. We don't understand yet why. Now, how does it work? So one more thing we know also. It says, if you look at the brachos at the end of Parshas Bechukosai, where it goes through all the beautiful, it says, if you follow in Hashem's ways and you keep His Torah, learn His Torah, keep His mitzvahs, and it goes through magnificent brachos, that you'll have enough food, and that you'll not only will you have enough, but you'll eat to satiation, you'll have enough water, the rain will come in the right times, all the beautiful, bountiful blessings that are listed there. But we find something interesting. It's at the end of all of the blessings, the last one is V'nasati Shalom Ba'aretz. I will give you peace in the land. So he says like this, V'achaltem lachmechem l'soiva. So the Medrash tells us like this, you can eat food and be satisfied, have enough bread. Shema taimru harei maichol v'harei mishte. So you might say to yourself, well, I have enough food, I have enough drink, I'm missing nothing. But the Medrash tells us, no, the Chumash shows us, im ein shalom ein klum. If you don't have peace, you have nothing. That's why it says, Talmud loymer v'nasati shalom ba'aretz. Magid shahasholom shokol keneged hakol. It's not just an additional blessing. It's not just a blessing which ranks on the top. It is a blessing that if we don't have it, we have nothing. Why? What is it? What is it about shalom that makes it that without it, we have nothing? So I'll just read you a few beautiful things that share a little bit of an insight into what is so integral. Why is it such a foundational and important and everything, so to speak? So we say like this, what is this concept of peace? So first of all, it says that if you have a vessel and you don't, in other words, without peace, it's like a vessel, as we said, with holes in it. So everything's going to get lost. So if you don't have peace, everything that we've asked for will be gone. Let's understand why. So if you look at the word shalom in Hebrew, shalom means peace. There's a very similar word, which if you just actually, you can even spell it the same way. You could add an extra letter, but you could spell it the same way. And it is shalem, right? Shalem means complete. Shalom is peace and shalem is complete. And they go together. Shlemus, completion. Completeness and wholeness. What's the opposite of completeness? The opposite of completeness and wholeness is machloikes. Machloikes literally is dispute, chelek, part, fragments. Something is either whole or it's fragmented. If it's fragmented, it's not whole. So the opposite of peace is machloikes. The opposite of completion is fragments. Now, what does this mean? So we find, if you think about it, the world, the way the world works, and even in our inner world, but the whole world, the natural world is in a constant state of struggle between competing forces. Everything. If you even think just about the four elements, the way that Kabbalah explains, I mean, there's many more elements, but the basic four elements of fire and water, and then the wind and the dust. Let's say fire and water. We know that Adam HaRishon and the whole world initially actually was created with fire and water. You can't get more opposite than fire and water. Water extinguishes the fire. They're constantly struggling, and each one, in a sense, almost wants to swallow the other. However, without both of them, the world doesn't exist. So how does it work? So the world is in a constant state where there's this struggle between opposing forces. There is, thank God, a higher force, which is Hashem, and He causes peace, a coexistence between all the opposing forces, which ensures that the world continues to exist. So therefore, what do we see? We see that without this force of godliness, so to speak, that runs underneath or through everything, the opposing forces might self-destruct. So naturally, there is this constant struggle, and things are not naturally at peace. But more naturally, meaning in the higher realm, if you look at it from the deeper perspective, they are at peace. Why? Because they have one force which is creating all of them, and constantly creating all of them, and that is Hashem. So therefore, we have a fascinating thing. So interesting, we find even, that's why, when we think about it, sometimes we stop to think, we think, why is it so difficult for us to get along with each other? Why isn't it, so to speak, the natural state of being that people just get along? If you watch small children, even infants, like little toddlers as they're starting to play, and you put two, let's say 1.5-year-olds in a, you know, with a few toys, you'll find something interesting. Most of the time, if they're not ignoring each other, they're fighting about the same toy. Naturally, people want always the same thing. It's not, they don't all of a sudden, you know, you put two little toddlers and they're best of friends. That's not the way it works. It takes work. That doesn't come so naturally. Naturally, we actually don't pull together, we pull apart. That's between us and somebody else, and even inside of ourselves. Naturally, that we don't necessarily have an inner peace. We're constantly struggling. We're pulled in many directions. That's because we're created with two opposite forces. If you think about our existence, we have a neshama, which is a spiritual, godly, it's not only spiritual, but it's a godly spark. And then we have the physical, material, limited body. Obviously, each one pulling in totally different directions, and yet they have to coexist. If the neshama is not in the body, well, the body will not be alive. And if the body doesn't house the neshama can't do a mitzvah. So therefore, they do learn to coexist, but there's a constant struggle. So it's very interesting. So without the godliness, the higher spark, which obviously is the force which is creating all, well, things wouldn't coexist. That's the truth. But the way Hashem made it, obviously, is that He constantly recreates everything, so things do coexist. But we have to put tremendous effort into living that way, to revealing that. So we have a very fascinating thing. I want to just, the Malbim. I want to show you how the Malbim says it. He says it beautifully. He says, Hashem made a pact of peace with reality as a whole. For the entire cosmos is made up of opposing forces, and these forces also drive people apart. Only the presence of Hashem, who is the soul of the world, that keeps it alive and enduring, binds all the disparate forces that exist in the world and makes peace between them. So this is the general peace that happens. But there's another beautiful thing. We know that peace doesn't just mean that people are not fighting. That's not peace, that's a lack of fighting. So, okay, so the fact you can say, okay, everything is just coexisting side by side. That's not really peace. Peace is not just a lack of fighting. But peace is much, much deeper. And this is the part that really applies to all of us, really on a day-to-day point. How do we incorporate peace into our lives if we live with a certain attitude? So we can already see that what must we be able to identify as the source of everything and the constant energizer of everything? The godly spark. Without that, there is no peace. Once we identify that, once what we see is the godliness in everything, well, then we can see how things can coexist because there's this higher force which is creating everything to work together. Now, what does that mean practically? That means practically that we have to look at ourselves as a unique, definitely, a unique part, a unique creation. But Hashem created us almost like you would say when you have a massive puzzle, the world could be compared to a big puzzle. The puzzle has many, many, many different pieces. Every piece has different shape, sort of a different, totally different shape and juts out in one place and in another place. Without the puzzle being put together, right? Every piece with its shape, one piece completes the next one, then you get the complete puzzle. Every person has to look at themselves as and realize and be aware constantly that they are being created by Hashem. Not only are they constantly being created by Hashem, but they're being created by Hashem exactly the way they are, with their personality traits, with their abilities, with their talents, with their intellectual capabilities, whatever it may be, with their circumstances, tailor-made. And you contribute something unique to the entire world. You have to accept that you are made in a certain way. You have to accept that. And you have to accept that you have something unique to contribute to the rest of the world. So then it's not just that you exist side by side, but you coexist in a way where you complete each other. We all complete each other as a whole to fulfill the purpose of creation. This is the concept of true peace. So interestingly, this already provides us with this concept of inner peace. because it's a matter of accepting, having this real menuchas hanefesh, as we say, this true inner peace, to accept that we are exactly the way we are meant to be. Obviously, we have to work on ourselves to grow spiritually, but whatever abilities we have, or whatever abilities we don't have, we're not meant to have. Somebody else, perhaps, has that, and that completes us, and what we have completes them. And that's the idea of the shleimus, that the shleimus and the shalom go together. We complete each other, we make up one whole, and we exist together in a way where we serve Hashem and fulfill the purpose of creation, all of us together. This is true shalom. Without this, the world doesn't go on. This is, if you think about it, what this means is that we are aware, our perspective and our awareness and our life is lived with the reality of Hashem being the one who is creating the world constantly, creating us constantly, and He becomes the true reality. Obviously, that is the vessel for all of the blessings that we have asked for and that we have hopefully been granted, and we're confident that we've been granted throughout our tefillah of Shemayne Esrei. Okay, so just want to see, because that's interesting, like it says, he brings a very beautiful thing, that a person is like a small world, Olam Katan, right? There's the global world, the big world out there, and we're all the small world. We also have a whole complete self. So we also have to make peace within ourselves. We have things that, as we said, we struggle with. We're pulled in different directions. So this Isa Shalom, this bracha of Shalom, is about, obviously, as we say, accepting our role in general in the world, and accepting, obviously, that other people, and more than accepting, but respecting that other people have a unique contribution to make that we can't do without them, but also within ourselves to accept the different parts of ourselves and to learn how to live with inner peace within ourselves. Yes, we struggle. That's good, because we struggle and we grow, but our struggle becomes a struggle to grow closer to Hashem, and we acknowledge that. We acknowledge that there is these opposing forces, but we thank Hashem that He is the source of everything, and therefore there actually can be peace. Because otherwise, it wouldn't be. It wouldn't be possible. One more small thing that I want to share, just a general thing. Very interesting. Everything I always say is always Hashkacha Pratis, always, always. Today is actually Shushan Purim Katan, being the 15th day of the first month of Adar. And in the Megillah, there's actually a very interesting thing. It says like this. There's a very beautiful thing that the Vilna Gaon explains. It says like this, that in Mordechai, in the Purim story, the last word, in the last verse of the Megillah, it says, V'doiver shalom lechol zarei, which means he spoke peace to all of his people. What does it mean he spoke peace? So he explains that speaking peace refers to good character traits, because good character traits are the most important thing, which means, he says, interesting thing here, he discusses, the Vilna Gaon says, that some people have actually a problem with this because they don't realize, they look at things very superficially. In Torah, although there are many mitzvahs that deal in our behavior between man and man, so we have to give tzedakah, we have to, obviously we have a general mitzvah of loving every Jew, but there aren't really that many specific mitzvahs that deal with character refinement as such. But he says the truth is that's the whole Torah. The whole Torah is about character refinement. That's what Torah is all about. And he says, interesting thing. He says, like, for example, we have a famous thing that it says that if somebody's angry, it's as if they're worshipping idols, right? If somebody speaks Lashon Hara, it's as if he denied the existence of God. What is peace? Peace is the all-encompassing trait of good character and is the external expression of inner refinement. That's why it says that Hashem found no vessel that would hold blessing except for peace. Because the only thing that could contain our blessing is if we have character refinement. And this is what Mordechai was doing with his people. He was refining, well, himself, and inspiring others to refine themselves as well. That's what it means, the translation, V'dayver Shalom, Shalom, peace, but it means that he was inspiring everybody to refine themselves, to become better people. And this is actually in the Megillah. This is the concept of peace. This is what the Vilna Gaon explains. Right, and as we say that, interesting, we mentioned before about the different parts of ourselves that are struggling and pull in different directions. So sometimes they could be just that we want different things. But also, fascinatingly enough, we are made up of contradictions, right? So even though we have a dominant, sort of more dominant traits, you know, some people are, whatever, generally, you know, some people are more generous, some people find it, are more exact, you know, and calculated. The truth is, though, that we have to use all the different traits, and sometimes we have to engage in one, and sometimes we have to engage in another. And this is also the concept of peace. Even though we might have a strength, and we might have a pull in one direction, we have to make peace with our entire self and with all of our capacity and stretch ourselves to realize that we can engage in the other way. So sometimes we should be very, very generous. But there are times when that's not meant to be. And it's more important to be exact and calculated. So this is also the concept of making peace within ourselves and using all aspects of our personality, even the more weaker parts of our personality. And that's also part of making peace within ourself. Okay, just want to see. Then obviously, and we're going to see soon, so this is the concept, as we said, is peace in the world between all the different opposing forces, peace within ourself, and of course, a very important thing is peace within the Jewish people. That's a very, very important thing, as we know, not so simple. And that's why, as we say, it says, that's like it says, Barchenu Avinu Kulanu Ke'echad, Hashem should bless us all as one. And it's an extremely important thing. We say that the bracha, blessing, only comes to the Jewish people when we live in a way where we get along with each other. So this is also a very big thrust in this bracha. So this is what Rabbi Yonasan Eipshit says, when we make this bracha. Okay, so we're asking for Hashem to give us inner peace. We're asked to help us with our inner peace. We ask Hashem that there should be world peace. But we also, Rabbi Yonasan Eipshit said, we daven and we have kavana. And I'll read you some of his words in English. He says like this, that when one prays for peace, he should have in mind to pray that there should be no disputes amongst Jews, no jealousy, hatred, no fighting, but rather that everyone should be beloved, beautiful words Rabbi Yonasan Eipshit uses, beloved, embraced, and unified to the greatest degree of love, brotherhood, and friendship possible. All Jews should be as one soul, and we are one soul. That's the truth. In other words, our souls are all so connected to each other. We're all brothers. We all have the same father. So what we have to do is just reveal that. One should intend to fulfill the mitzvah of love your neighbor as yourself, which is the great principle of the Torah. And this is also what we're meant to have in mind when we say this bracha. This is a very important part of this bracha. Now we know, and Nick, I don't think we're going to get to it this week, but one of the words we said was Torah's Chaim, right? A Torah of life. What is the idea? Because Torah's Chaim means this, our Torah is all about peace. That's what it is. So we ask Hashem that he should be able to enlighten us, that we should be able to have the proper perspective and understand the Torah, but more importantly, to be able to apply it to our day-to-day life. And that is with and only through peace. I just want to see if there was any more important things here. Just one more thing. Also, we know why Torah's Chaim, because, and why that's mentioned together with peace. We know that when did we become eligible? When were we worthy to receive the Torah? As we know what it says, when the Jewish people reached the Mount Sinai, just 6 days before the giving of the Torah, it says, the Pasuk says, Vayichan Sham Yisrael, that the Jewish people camped opposite the mountain. And it says camped in the singular. They camped, as we say, as one heart, as one people with one heart, we were united. Because the Medrash says that Hashem actually was so eager to give us the Torah, really that was the whole purpose of leaving Egypt, of taking us out of Egypt. So why did he wait 40, you know, all those 49 days? Because he was waiting for us to reach this level of peace. We see before that, remember, let's say, for example, when they were being chased by the Egyptians before they got to the Yam Suf, to the Hashem made a miracle and he split the sea. But before that, there was all the different camps. Some Jews said, let's jump in. Some said, let's go back to Egypt. Let's commit suicide. Let's dive in all the different ways. So in other words, there wasn't unity. But when they reached Mount Sinai and we saw a unity, then they were eligible to receive the Torah. So you see that the entire Torah is only given to us because of peace. Okay. Oh, and then another thing he says, and I want to read you beautifully. This is actually words from a very great Rabbi Chaim Shmulevitz in this sefer called Sichas Musar. It's actually based on an Arach Chaim that it talks about by the giving of the Torah. It says that the third preparation for giving of the Torah was that what? That they were unified. And I'll show you, when we want to receive the Torah, and we say we receive the Torah every day from anew, that's the idea. The Torah has to be new to us every day. We get the Torah on a deeper level. If we want to be able to receive the Torah every day, we have to make sure, as that's why we do it during davening, before we end our Shemay Nesrei, we have to have resolve in our hearts this concept that we are all at peace with each other. And some of the commentaries tell us, actually, that sometimes, unfortunately, human nature, and we've had a bit of a rift with somebody, we got insulted, whatever it may be, this is a good time to concentrate and say to ourselves, let's put that aside and let's move on. So interestingly, it's not just peace that we're talking about in a very, you know, abstract way, and it's not just peace for the future. It's peace even after we haven't had peace. That's the idea, that we should try and complete ourselves to the extent that we can mend the rift that we've created. And this, in turn, makes us eligible to receive the Torah in a deeper way every single day. Okay, that was just in very, very general. And there's one more. I heard a beautiful, beautiful shir that was actually given by a man, Rabbi Tursky. It's related to the Rabbi Tursky, but it's not the famous Rabbi Tursky. It's, I think, his nephew, maybe. He's a rabbi in Chicago, a much younger man. And he gave a very, very beautiful, beautiful shir that I listened to that was a very, it gave me such a beautiful insight to understand. This will help us understand how this bracha fits in over here, why we take a conclude Shmaina Esrei with it, and how it fits in with the whole, you know, framework, so to speak, of the davening. Let's not forget, as we said, this is the last one, the 19th one. We actually still call Shmaina Esrei Shmaina Esrei, which means 18 blessings, even though we have 19. So perhaps one of the reasons is because even though we have 19, maybe we can say this is not really a 19th. This is the blessing that holds it all. So therefore, there's 18, and this just holds all the other ones. So that's how you can say it. So let's understand, what is this blessing? So he tells us something very, very beautiful. There is a medrash, apparently a famous medrash. What's the origin of this blessing? So the origin of this blessing is that at the time that the Jewish people were about to enter the land of Israel, and as we said, what does it say in the Pasuk in Parshas Bechukaisa that Hashem promises, V'nasati sholom ba'aretz, I will give peace in the land. So as they were about to enter the land of Israel, the angels in heaven said, Baruch atah Hashem, blessed is Hashem, HaMevarech Amoy Yisrael Bashalom, who blesses his nation Israel with peace. In other words, this bracha originally first was said by the angels. By the angels when we were about to enter the land of Israel. They're the author of this blessing. And we take the blessing from them, and we use this blessing every day when we are davening. So originally from the Malachim. But the question is, why did the Malachim say the bracha then? Why didn't they say it when we got the Torah? We said by the Torah we were at peace, right? The Jewish people camped at Har Sinai. Wow, fantastic. Isn't that when the bracha should have been said? We were all at one, you know, one heart, all united. Why did they wait until we were about to enter the land of Israel? And why do we actually make it as the last, as we say, the last blessing in Shmaina Esrei? So we have to understand. So he gives a very beautiful concept. I'll just run through it quite quickly, just because, as we say, I mean, not that we have to run anywhere, but still we would like to get the, you know, to maybe hopefully even a few of the words today to start to understand the actual wording of the bracha. But he says a very beautiful thing, that the Torah, we know, is a very, it's a circular thing. I mean, because there's no beginning and no end. We never start, finish. We're always going on. So even the beginning and the end of Torah are so interconnected. What's the end of the Torah? When Moshe Rabbeinu finishes, we know the last pasuk, L'chol hayad ha-chazaka, right? We talks about how amazing Moshe Rabbeinu was, and he showed us the great strong hand, U'l'chol ha-mayra ha-gadol, and all the awe, asher asa Moshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu did, le'enei kol Yisrael, before the eyes of the Jewish people. And then, what's the first pasuk in the Torah? Bereishis bara Elohim, Hashem created at the beginning, Hashem created the world, es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aretz, the heavens and the earth. And actually, interesting, the Medrash tells us the word bereshis is, beis is two beginnings. What are two beginnings? That there is a beginning called a heaven and a beginning, a first called earth. In other words, there's two beginnings, there's two distinct parts, there's the heaven and there's the earth. Keep that in mind for a minute, because we're going to see what does this mean, that there's two firsts, a heaven and an earth, what do they represent? So just to come back to another concept, which we'll tie it all together in a second. It says like this, that when Moshe Rabbeinu, because we mentioned about going into the land of Israel, you know that before Moshe Rabbeinu passed away, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu yearned so strongly to go into the land of Israel. And he wasn't allowed, and it never ended up happening. And we know the famous thing that the pasuk tells us, Ve'eschanan el Hashem ba'esha hi lemar, that Moshe Rabbeinu begged and pleaded to Hashem at that time, saying, that's when he was davening and begging and pleading and really yearning so much to go into the land of Israel, and he davened and he davened and he davened. And the Medrash tells us that when you see the words Ve'eschanan el Hashem ba'esha hi lemar, what was happening there? Moshe Rabbeinu was begging Hashem, lemar, asking Hashem permission that he should be able to speak. Lema, can I please open my mouth and tell you what I want? What does that mean? Why couldn't he just start his requests that he wanted? So it says that Moshe Rabbeinu, very interesting, felt that he needed to ask permission. Just like, you know, when we start Shemayna Esrei, what do we say the first thing? We say, Hashem Sfasai Tiftach, Hashem, open up my lips, and my mouth will be able to tell your praises. We are asking Hashem to open our lips because we feel we can't. Why? Because we're standing in such awe in the Holy of Holies, and we become so filled with, you know, awe of Hashem, that it's almost as if our lips are sealed. So we beg Hashem to open our lips, and we ask permission that we should be able to speak. But Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem many times. This is not the first time, this is one of the end times. And we don't find that he asks permission before he starts to speak. What happened here? What was different here? So the Medrash tells us something beautiful. Here, as we say, Moshe Rabbeinu was standing at the border of the land of Israel, right? That's where they were. And Hashem actually even showed him. He was able to have a vision of the whole land. He didn't enter physically, but he did get a vision, right? He did get some kind of a preview. But nevertheless, where was he standing? At the border. When he was standing at the border of Eretz Yisrael, all of a sudden he was filled with such a level of awe, such a level of trepidation, he couldn't open up his mouth. Why? What happened here? What was different here than before? He had been in heaven with Hashem. Remember when he got the Torah? He had been in many, many different situations of great holiness. So we have a magnificent thing. It's I think the Chassam Sofer explains. It says, Kan shahaya bePesach Eretz Yisrael. Here, when he was standing at the entrance to the land of Israel, Hirgish Or Nifla, he felt a most wondrous light, Ukedusha and holiness, Atsuma, like a very strong holiness, Mashalai Hirgish, something which he had not felt, Afilu Bashamayim, even in the heavens. Even in the heavens, he had never felt such a great holiness as he felt here at the entrance to the land of Israel, which in turn filled him with such an awe and such a trepidation that he had to beg Hashem, so to speak, to open up his mouth and to be able to ask what he wanted. And the Chassam Sofer says that the karka of Eretz Yisrael, the ground, the land of Eretz Yisrael, kedushasa atzuma yaiser, its holiness is stronger, mishamayim shel chutz la'aretz, than the heaven of out of Eretz Yisrael. The land, the earthliness of Eretz Yisrael is holier than the heaven of out of Eretz Yisrael. What does this mean? What's happening over here? So to understand this, we can all reflect on something in our own life, and this will help us understand. We know Hashem is very kind because he knows we're just people, and he knows that it's not so easy for us to be inspired. So what does Hashem do? So on a general way, throughout the year, he gives us special times where we're inspired. So just quickly, Tishrei, an inspiring month. We know we transport ourselves to a whole different world, especially think of Ne'ilah, we're in a different space, unbelievable. Then we come to Simchas Torah, that gives us joy for the rest of the year. That's the month of Tishrei, in a nutshell, we would say it's like if somebody has low iron and they go and have an infusion. It's the real strong infusion of spirituality, of strength, of energy, of godliness. Obviously, what's the point? The point is not just to sit in that chair, get the infusion, and that's it. It's to take it with you. It's supposed to help you, at least for a few months, hopefully for a year. This is the infusion that we gain once a year. But we know that's not good enough for us. Every day we need an infusion. We're people, and we fluctuate. So we are so lucky. Hashem has given us such an incredible gift. He's given us a siddur and an opportunity to daven, and especially the Shemayna Esrei. And when we stand Shemayna Esrei, that is our infusion for the day. Where are we going when we stand Shemayna Esrei? We're going somewhere else. We're not in this world. We're up, like we say, in the Holy of Holies. We ascend heavenward, right? That's where we are. And it's magnificent, and it gives us such strength, hopefully. How does it give us strength? What are we going to do? How are we going to transfer it? So we're very nice when we're up in the heavens, very nice when we're standing with our siddur. But very soon we're going to close our siddur and we're going to face the world. And as we're talking even just this concept of peace, we're going to look at the person that we saw yesterday that irked us. And we're going to see everything that bothers us and all the things that make life a little bit challenging. And then we forget about Hashem for a moment and we forget the source of everything. How's it going to work? So here is where we have the most beautiful formula that the Chachamim gave us. They said, before you're going to close, go three steps back, right? Before you're going to stop your Shemayna Esrei, you're going to say this bracha of Sim Shalom. Sim Shalom is the bracha which is the ability to take all of the holiness that we have just been infused with of Shemayna Esrei and to transport it back down with us to the day-to-day normal world. This is what happened with Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there at the entrance to the land of Israel. Now, some of us think the land of Israel, that means a holy place. It's true it's a holy place, but what kind of a holy place is it? It's called Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael symbolizes earthliness, earth. It's physical. It's a place where you plant and you plow and you work in the normal world and you live a normal life, you live with other people. The idea of entering the land of Israel is serving Hashem on earth. That's what Hashem wants from us. He has plenty of angels in heaven. He doesn't need more angels. We are people. We have been created to be in earth. So we say, the Chassam Sofer says, the karka, the land of the Eretz, of the earthliness of a Jew, is higher than the greatest revelations in the heavens that the Malachim might experience. But that's when we take that infusion and we infuse the earthliness with the holiness, obviously. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu felt. He felt such a great fear, so to speak, because he realized the potential, the greatness, the incredible potential of revelation of godliness that can happen in Eretz Yisrael. But how does it have to happen? You have to take everything that you've been infused with in those moments before. And this is what Sim Shalom is. So we said, at the beginning, we said there's two beginnings, Shamayim and Eretz. Right? Hashem created the world, Shamayim and Eretz. What does that mean? Shamayim is the heaven, but the heaven is there to infuse the earth. The purpose is to take it, to bring it down into the world. That's what Shalom means. Shalom, that's the idea of this bracha. We are going to make peace now. It is so hard to close the siddur because it's such a beautiful space to be in. To be in a space where the world doesn't exist, all the things that have bothered us don't exist. We stand there just before God and we're all holy and wonderful. Now we say we have to close the siddur and come back. How do we transfer? It's two opposite forces. One is a place of holiness, a space, as we say, of almost natural inner peace. And here we're going to go to a fragmented, difficult, challenging, dark world. We make peace between them. Sim Shalom. We ask, this is what we're asking Hashem. Allow us to make peace. Allow us to coexist, so to speak. Allow us to take the holiness of this inspiration into our moment by moment, day to day, normal living. And this is why this concludes the Shemayna Esrei. This holds all the holiness in it, and we take that, then we are able to take this holiness and bring it into our day-to-day life. This is the, as we say, the spiritual, the physical, it's all fighting, it's all struggling. But no, we ask Hashem, and Hashem does, He gives us, because that's what we say. We ask Hashem and we have the confidence that He fulfills it. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu was doing, and this is what we do every single day. I'm going to see if there's anything else. And that's when we, as we say, that's when we fulfill the Nasati Shalom Ba'aretz. Where should the peace be? On earth. Because the peace is between bringing all the great inspiration back down into the world. That's the idea. And we don't want any interruption, right? We don't want any interruption between the heaven and the earth. So we infuse ourselves and our whole day is a whole different day. And that's why this is the last bracha of Shemayna Esrei. This is the peace we're talking about. The peace between our inspired self and our normal self almost. Our inspired self, our better self, and our whatever, struggling self. And this is possible. It's possible. Not only is it possible, but Hashem gives us a tremendous bracha and enables us to do it. So this is why, as we say, this is the conclusion. But we will next week do more. But I'm just going to do now a little bit of the words. But this is the conclusion, so to speak, of the formal part of Shemayna Esrei, because this is really the bridge. This is which makes that peace and literally ties together the two opposite forces. Okay, let's look a little bit at some of the exact words. What are we asking for specifically? Because it's a bracha that has many words. We don't just say shalom, one word. Many more words. So we'll try to do a little bit of insight into a lot of the different words. Okay, shalom. So first of all, what is shalom, as we mentioned a lot already about? Shalom, we said we shouldn't have anger. That's one of the things we should be asking. We should be filled with humility and obviously peace. Inner peace, external peace between us and our family, us and our friends, and of course, world peace. Then we come to the word toiva. Sim, shalom, toiva. The word sim actually is also interesting. It's discussed. Sim means to place. And the word place, actually, the imagery of place is when you place something gently. So it's not that you throw something. It's not even giving something harshly. It's very gentle. Because the idea being that nothing breaks apart. You're giving it in a way where the person can actually take it and hold on to it. That's what sim is. So if you imagine somebody placing something next to somebody else in a way where it will be 100% complete and intact, right? You place a plate down that's made of glass, right? You don't just give it, you place it. And this is what we're asking, sim shalom. What does taiva represent? So there's a few ways to explain it. What are we asking for? Good. What's good? I mean, obviously we want good. But interesting, because sometimes as a human being, we know that some things look really good to us. They do. They're very appetizing, very appealing, very magnificent looking. But you look a little bit further and a little bit deeper and you realize, no, it's not good for us. I mean, a simple example can be in the world, you know, there's many different kinds of food that look very appetizing, but we know that if we eat it, it won't be healthy for us. So the commentaries say, they say like this. Actually, the Maharal, he says beautifully, he says that what we want is that we ask Hashem that He should make sure that what we engage in, when we say Taiva, is that we engage in things that not just look good in the immediate, but are truly good for us for always. That's Taiva. Another thing of Taiva, we say, that it's very interesting. Sometimes when we get and we ask for so many beautiful things from Hashem, and we're confident Hashem is going to give us all the blessings, He's going to make us healthy, He's going to make enough money in the bank, everything's going to be wonderful. Sometimes when we have everything going so well, we can actually forget about the source of it all, right? When things are working fine, you just expect it to keep working fine and you forget Hashem. So what we're asking for here also with the word taiva is that all the good that we get, and that it shouldn't lead to us feeling arrogant and self and, so to speak, independent. Rather, we should be constantly remembering the source of all the good. That's a very important thing. That's the toiv, that it should be true good. It shouldn't lead to something negative. That's what the Sfasemis explains. And then, he's another beautiful one over here, toiva. Just this, it's a similar idea. But he says very beautifully, also why it's over here at the last bracha. Because what happens is we daven. You know, a person can sometimes, you know, some days we have more inspiration than others. And let's say we had a good day and we felt something and we davened and we close our siddur, we give it a kiss and we feel quite confident. You know, we had a good communication. It's going to be a good day. Sometimes what happens is, and taka baruch Hashem, things, you know, seem to be working out wonderfully. He says what a person should realize then is that it's first time to daven. It's not the closing, the siddur kisit. After you daven is when you have to start davening. What he means by that is, after you daven is when you have to start to really work on yourself, to feel and to be truly humble, truly dependent on Hashem, and realize once Hashem is starting to help you, oh my gosh, am I like now I really have to submit myself to Him. So after the davening, you first start davening. That's what the Sfasema says also beautifully. Just one more, I think, on Taiva. Oh yeah, and he says also, Taiva means the informal parts of davening that we do through the day. So the idea is Sim Shalom Taiva, the good, meaning to recognize all the wonderful things that happen, the small things that happen constantly through the day. We ask Hashem that we should be aware and that we should recognize it, all those good things, and that throughout the day we should relate them to Hashem and we should say thank you, you know, for the small things that keep seeming to work out, Baruch Hashem. Then we come to bracha. What's bracha? So we say that bracha, the concept of bracha is always abundance. When you use the word blessing, it means an abundance of things. So we ask Hashem that things should be plentiful, for sure, that we should have plentiful bracha, that we should have plentiful good, as we say, good and peace should be abundant, and it should be constantly increasing and unlimited. Anything which is limited is not considered a blessing. Blessing is something which is keeps on coming, unlimited. And this is what we're asking for. Just want to see. And that's why interesting, it says that blessing doesn't rest on something which is exact in measure. That's why it's sometimes, you know, we say, let's say, for example, when you make kiddush, right, you know, you overflow the wine. So part of that is to overflow the blessing. But the idea also is that you shouldn't be measuring exact. If we don't measure exact, Hashem won't measure exact. And He'll just keep pouring the blessings. And this is what we want. So that's the bracha, that it should be unlimited, abundant, a tremendous amount. And then we come, I said in our siddur, we have chayim. I think in the Ashkenaz it's not there, but I think the Sfarad also has chayim. So it says, mevakshim, what are we asking for here? That we should have eternal life. Spiritual life, obviously, that's what it means. And also that we should be able to live with chayis. You know, I don't know how you translate that, but it means, you know, sometimes, you know, we can say some people are just alive, you know, they're coasting through life. But then some people are really alive, you know, alive, to have that extra energy. We ask Hashem for the energy, that we should feel alive, not just that we are, you know, dog paddling through life and barely surviving, but we should truly be alive. And we know that for a Jew, true life comes only with a spiritual boost, the spiritual energy. So when we engage in learning Torah and we engage in doing mitzvahs, this gives us true life. And that's why actually, very beautifully, the Yismach Moshe says that Chaim is that constant cleaving to Hashem, that we feel that we are in the presence of life. And who's life? Hashem. Hashem is true life. So we constantly cleave to be closer and closer to Hashem. Then we ask for chen. Chen is always a hard one to explain. Literally, the word is grace. It's quite an interesting one, because what does it really mean? It means many, many different things. But over here in the Shemayna Esrei, there's a few different ways to explain it. So one of them actually is fascinating. So there's different aspects of it. That we should find favor in Hashem's eyes. In other words, Hashem should look at us favorably. What's the big deal? So if you think about it, we are just, whatever, most of us are just simple, ordinary people, and we don't do things so well. It's like, an example might be, if you get a child to set the table, sometimes they think it's wonderful, but you know, the way they put the napkin in, it's bent in this way, it's bent the other way, they don't see it, and it doesn't really look very good. It's not done very, very well. But what we hope, and what does happen, is when it's a parent, and they look at the napkin that the three-year-old put in, wow, it's amazing. The child finds grace, finds favor in the eyes of the parent. Why? Because the parent loves the child. And we ask Hashem that even though we're very far from perfect, we should still find favor in His eyes. And that comes about, the Chiddush Arim says, when we recognize that everything is from Hashem. That everything we have and everything that we can do comes from Hashem. So when we submit ourselves totally to Hashem, we find favor in Hashem's eyes. That's how the Chiddush Yarim says it. And then, chen is also from the word chinam, free. We ask Hashem that even though we don't deserve all these beautiful brachas that we're asking for, just give it to us anyway, because you love us, for whatever reason. Please, you know, we ask. And then we also ask, we should, let me just see, there was one more, it's very interesting also to do with Esther. Again, fascinating. It says in Megillas Esther, Vatehi Esther noisa'as chen, that Esther found favor. That's one of the things we know that, I mean, she was hoping that when she would go to Ahasuerus, even though she wasn't called, she was hoping that he would like her, right? That she should find favor in his eyes. That's the words that are used, the word chen. And the pasuk there says that she was going to go to the king, over chen, avayel hamelech, asher loy kidas. I'm going to the king against the rules. I wasn't called, right? So I'm not supposed to be there. In other words, we're not doing everything right. And we know that this represents, Esther represents the neshama, and the king is Hashem. We all come to Hashem like Esther. We're not perfect. We're far from perfect. We're not doing things right. But what do we ask? We ask that we should find chen in the eyes of Hashem. And as Esther did in the eyes of Ahasuerus, just because he is merciful. So it's like a free gift, so to speak. And where does it come from? Because you feel humble. You realize that you're not perfect. If you realize you're not perfect, you're coming and you're asking Hashem, he should please find favor. We should find favor in his eyes. That's one way. I'm just going to conclude with, what time is it? Oh no, another good. No, so just two more on chayin, and then we'll stop. And then next week, Emirat Hashem, we'll continue. So we continue with it, because each word is quite incredible. It says like this, that we should find favor in Hashem's eyes. Another thing with chayin, and this is very beautiful, we find this in history, that we actually ask Hashem, and this fits into this general bracha of peace, that we should find favor in the eyes of the people around us. That people should like us, you know, not in the sense that we need them to like us, but that we should be a blessing to them. We should be a pleasant company. People should want to be around us. And this we find with Yosef at Tzaddik. It says that whoever saw Yosef was like, loved him, right? Why? Interesting, it says. Because what was it about Yosef? Obviously, he was also handsome, he was talented, all the nice things. Obviously, very charming. But that's not why. It says because the name of Hashem was always on his lips. Everybody who saw Yosef felt the presence of Hashem with him. Because Yosef was so, again the word humble, but he was so submitted to Hashem. And everything, anytime anybody said, wow, you're so successful, he said, it's not me, it's Hashem. And every second word was about Hashem. People saw that, and people felt Hashem's presence around him, and they felt, and therefore, he almost, it's like, he found chayin, grace in everybody's eyes. Everybody wanted to look at Yosef, to be around Yosef, to be in the presence. And this is what we ask for, that we should find favor, we should find grace in the eyes of all the people around us. And then there was one more thing about the chayin. So in Hashem's eyes, and the eyes of the people of the world around us, and one last thing that we're also asking, that we should be able to view the world in this way as well. In other words, we should look at other people with grace. So they should find grace in our eyes. Instead of like, you know how some people are always like annoying, you say, oh my gosh, they're so annoying, or sometimes we just want to have our own space, we can't be around people. No, we should find that the people that we're around, and that the people that we mix with, and that the people that we're going to encounter throughout the day, we should be able to look at them in a way where we see them as a blessing to us. That we see them as we said at the beginning, that they complement us and we complement them. And we work together to make a complete world. This is true peace. So this is the chen in the eyes of Hashem. We should find chen in other people's eyes, and other people should find chen in our eyes. And that is also a very deep level of peace. Okay, I'm going to stop here. I'm going to unmute you if you have any questions. And Mirza.